One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
All right, welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's May freaking 31st. Most everybody's out of school if you're in the, you know, traditional August to May kind of thing. So enjoy the summer.
Well, I'm going to be honest about something, and I thought it was June 1st. I forgot May had 31 days, so... News to me. We got one day left in May.
It was that April Ludgate on Parks and Rec. She's like, 30 days has September, March, June, and November. They're like, nope, nope, you skipped one. No.
Is that when she puts all of Ron's meetings on that day?
March 31st. She's like, it's a fake day. So May 31st, I'm declaring it's also a fake day. So if you have stuff to do today, it doesn't exist. You're allowed to have the day off.
Now, if you're born today, you may not exist.
No, you weren't.
What is existence? Ask yourself that.
I mean, that's what we ask ourselves when we stare up at the moon at night and go, hey, what is it? Are we all going to be here? Are we going to have this moon for the next 20 years?
Yeah, it's a very depressing show that we're taking on the road. We just all ponder our own mortality.
You learn this moon's been here, baby, and it's not going anywhere.
Hopefully not.
Not at all.
You can learn about that and many other dark, mysterious, spooky things on our full moon energy tour. We're going to be in Charlotte and Raleigh on June 11th and 12th, then Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and rounding it out in Dallas. What else do they get to learn on this show that's only our tour show? We don't do this show on our main feed episode, so you can only hear about it if you come to the show.
Yeah, you guys know it's all about the dark side of the moon, what lurks up there, what really happened on the Apollo missions, how it got there, where it came from. McGruff will be there, so much more. For all the details, including dates, times, venues, and more, visit sinisterhood.com/live shows and get your tickets before they're gone.
Yeah, McGruff will be there.
Oh, he will.
Oh, will he?
Paris made a new promo for us for the tour to just show how much fun we've been having on stage and how much fun folks have had in the audience. And he said, is Tommy all right that I included the footage of McGruff kind of getting close to Christy back there? Because then he said, #BrownsBeforeHounds, which was very funny.
It's, I like it. And I appreciate the solidarity that really it's all of us against McGruff. I mean, exactly. None of us are safe.
We can't help ourselves. Well, McGruff is locked tight right now in the tour suitcase, I guess, unless somebody wants him for a cameo. So
yeah, he's in like, my bedroom. I just saw him in there.
he's hiding under
the bed waiting for me.
He's waiting for you to go to bed. He's like, oh, I hope the power goes out so it's nice and dark. Yeah, McGruff's secret is McGruff loves all these power outages in DFW because he likes to lurk in the dark.
with his little trench coat on and just flash people.
It's perfect. That's exactly what the ad council that invented McGruff. That's why they invented him. It's taint him someday.
It wasn't to keep kids safe, to teach kids about stranger danger, don't do drugs. Mm-mm. It was so we could take him on a tour and talk about how he's horny for me.
Yeah.
And also that he's a bad boy now.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's taking a turn. It's his retirement. That's what we always say. That's McGruff for you. He's, he's taking a bite out of crime, but some folks have had a brush with true crime. This week, we have quite a lineup of stories. My goodness.
This week, we
do. Jaw-dropping stories. I mean,
we always have a lineup of stories that are great, but these, you always say they run the gamut, but really this is stuff that isn't things we, a lot of stories we get and we're like, oh yeah, that's happened to a lot of people. But some of these I feel like are unique experiences and they're very creepy.
So creepy and near misses as well. So thanks to everybody always who sends them in, but these ones as well.
Yes. Well, I'm Christy.
Mom Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Lynn. It's called Uninvited Guest. And content warning, there's a brief mention of attempted suicide. Hey, I'm writing from Canada to say that I love what you do and endlessly appreciate the care you put into your work. I know you've heard this all before, so I won't get too long-winded. I just want to thank you for always balancing your humor and thoughtfulness with such grace, no matter the subject. On to the story. To begin with a little context, I'm an only child and my parents traveled often. They had me late in life and were very much of the school of thought that kids should be more or less left to their own devices as long as nothing caught fire. This never changed, no matter how much trouble I got into. And I got into a lot of trouble, much of which involved two old men with volatile tempers and obsessive personalities. In my teens, I had a pretty volatile temper myself, and I always managed to convince myself that was something I needed. I would tell myself that being able to, quote, handle men like that made me tough. Looking back, I definitely had reasons for thinking that way, few of them good, but I digress. Well, I did get in trouble at home. It usually had something to do with family drama, school problems, or run-ins with the law. Whatever turmoil was going on in my social life didn't tend to follow me home because I was rarely ever there. This story is about the first time it did. When I was 14, we moved into a new house. It wasn't anything crazy, but it was big enough that there were definitely a couple of rooms that never really got used. Oftentimes, no one would enter them for months at a time. We also had an alarm system, which even when disarmed, would beep every time a ground floor door or window was opened. Oftentimes, it would beep seemingly at random if one of the windows wasn't shut properly and the wind blew particularly hard. Normally, I didn't worry about it, but whenever my parents would go away and I would come home to house sit and take care of the pets, it would bother me a little. The first few times I was staying alone in the house, I checked the doors, windows, and empty rooms whenever the alarm beeped unexpectedly. But it happened often enough that eventually I just got used to it and assumed that if someone was really creeping around outside of the house, or even inside of it, the dog would start barking. When I was 15, my parents left to go camping for a couple of weeks and took the dog with them. I came home as I usually did to look after the house and the cat. I was in the midst of a pretty messy breakup with a guy named Braxton, who was 23 at the time, and it felt like it had torn my whole social circle apart. So I was actually looking forward to getting away from everyone for a bit. The first couple of nights were fine, and then I started noticing some strange things going on in the house, or in my head. I wasn't sure which. Lights were turned off that I could have sworn I'd left on. Doors were left open that I remembered closing. There were small things I was so sure had been moved from where I last saw them, but I couldn't be 100% certain. All in all, a lot of things that were noticeable enough to make me nervous when they happened as often as they did, but too small to really do anything drastic about. I'm a pretty proactive person, so I decided that before I let myself get scared, I would figure out if there was anything even to be scared of in the first place. I started taking pictures every time I left a room. A bit paranoid, but it worked. I was not imagining things. My stomach immediately dropped into my ass when I realized that something really was wrong. So I did the first thing I could think of and called my aunt. We weren't super close, but she only lived a few blocks away, and I knew she'd be awake, probably a few glasses of wine deep, and looking for someone to talk to. I tried to act as normal as I could while I quietly wrangled the cat. Not an easy task, but I couldn't live with myself if I left her behind and something happened to her. And asked my aunt if I was still coming over to watch a movie. It was a lame lie, and she was definitely a little confused, but it was the first thing that popped into my head, and it was enough for her to understand that something was wrong. She immediately asked if I needed her to come get me. Still trying to act casual, I just told her not to worry, but said I couldn't wait to get there to tell her some stories about my friends. I don't even remember what I told her. I just wanted her to stay on the phone with me while I took the keys and the car. Not legal, but also not the first time, and in this situation, I don't think anyone could blame me. I immediately locked the car doors once I was inside with the cat. Waiting for the garage door to open was agony. I was terrified someone would open the door to the house or be standing in front of the garage door. But the coast was clear. Unfortunately, our driveway was also gated, and it happened to have the slowest motor in existence. While I was waiting for the gate to open, I'd stopped talking, only answering my aunt when she asked if I was still there. Nervous, I checked the rearview mirror, and to this day, I could swear my heart stopped. In one of the narrow windows next to the front entrance, clearly visible, was the silhouette of a person. The window was made from textured glass, so I couldn't make out any precise details, but it was more than enough, and I immediately took off and clipped the gate on my way out, knocking the side mirror off the car and leaving a pretty significant scratch along the passenger door. Up until that moment, I guess I'd still believed I was probably just getting carried away and getting scared over nothing. As freaked out as I'd already been, the moment I saw someone standing by the door, the imminence of danger became real to me in a way I had never experienced before. Violence that came with anger was something I knew, and something I could predict to an extent. But realizing that someone had been waiting in that house, and I hadn't even known, just felt so surreal in the worst possible way. I very immediately felt like a child. Like I didn't know what was going to happen next, or what this person might do to me. And I was terrified of finding out. I drove to my aunt's and kept pretty outwardly calm. She made me call the cops, who I've never quite trusted and do even less so now, but I'll admit that they were helpful that night. Ultimately, the invader was apprehended and turned out to be, as I'm sure you and everyone listening could have predicted, my ex, Braxton. He was arrested on charges of unlawful entry and criminal harassment. The cops found he had hidden a length of rope, a few bottles of piss that I assume he was using instead of the toilet in order to keep quiet, and some photos of me and my friends that were covered in cigarette burns and dried spit. At his bail hearing, he was deemed to be low risk enough that his parents had no problem posting bail. Outrageous. A week later, he tried to complete suicide via self-immolation and was committed to a psychiatric facility. After a lengthy stay in the hospital, proceedings were delayed so he could be assessed. Between navigating the legal system and some other personal issues I was having, the year that followed was the worst year of my life. In the end, Braxton was found culpable and sentenced to 4 years, and that was with prior convictions. I'm 29 years old now, and even though what happened is far enough in the past that it almost feels like it happened to someone else most days, I still can't stomach living anywhere bigger or more accessible than a 2-bedroom apartment. Enough floors up that absolutely no one is creeping through my windows. I haven't been back to the town I grew up in since I left at 17. I don't think I'll ever bother. Typing this out felt like a relief in a way I wasn't entirely expecting, so thank you both for giving me a space to do so and for listening when I did. Sincerely, Lynn. P.S., in case you were wondering, my parents made me pay them back for the damages to the car. We haven't kept in touch.
Oh, Lynn, the Daniel LaPlante of it all. That is the eeriest. Anytime there's a hider in the house,
yeah,
and the moving of the things, genius with the pictures, by the way.
Oh,
Lynn.
I was, yes.
Genius.
So smart. It's, I think I've talked before, maybe in a Q&A or something, about the guy I follow on TikTok that's diagnosed with schizophrenia, and he uses the camera on his phone because he has really scary visual hallucinations to see, like, are these real or not? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's so smart. And then this, it kind of reminded me of this, of like, yeah, take a picture.
Because yeah, like, what resources
the camera
do I have?
Doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. You can go back in and be like, see, I fucking knew that that teddy bear was sitting in that chair a second ago. I'm not going crazy.
You're like, am I haunted? Surely not. And especially when it is like, oh, well, I might have just forgotten versus I have evidence. And then it's like, I should call my aunt. I should call an adult and get the fuck out of here. So, and then to see, to just like look in your rearview mirror and see that silhouette. Yes, you, first of all, fuck your parents for making you pay for that.
Yeah.
Because I would have crashed a lot worse, I'm sure. Panicking and speeding away.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like your parents are the most empathetic people. And I'm very sorry. It sounds like you had a rough growing up, but it sounds like you're doing a lot better now. Braxton, whose name has been changed, was a piece of shit. And I'm wondering how long he was in that house. That's so scary.
It really is. And especially, you know, it's not like, well, maybe he was just sleeping upstairs. You find out later, which is very sad, that he tried to complete suicide, but through such a violent way, and to just kind of know what he's capable of, kind of the lengths that he's willing to go to, and having rope in the house. And like, there's also, I think, something to like burned photos of the person when you're like stalking the person. It's like, this is what I want to do to you. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we saw in the Peggy Klinke case, you know, he was damaging those photos of her like out of rage. So that's just so eerie. And I'm so glad you listened to your gut and got the fuck out of there.
Yes. And took the cat.
Took the cat. Yeah. It is hard to wrangle a cat. It's so
because
hard.
Because honestly, like,
you don't know.
Yeah. And he clearly was not in his right mind. So, but just looking in your rearview mirror and seeing a person, that's right out of a horror film. Mm-mm. And you lived it. And I'm so glad you got out of there safe and that he got some time for it. I hope he also got the help he needed for his mental unwellness.
Yeah, for everything. And I'm glad this, you know, it felt like a relief getting it off your chest, sharing it and stuff. And that's why we like to do this Freaky Friday, is give an opportunity, because I'm not guaranteeing it, but it's highly likely that somebody's listening and is like, oh my gosh, even if they don't send their story in, they feel seen or heard by you. So thank you for your generosity, Lynn.
Yes, thank you so much, Lynn.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, this next one is from Dee Dee, and it is called The Time My Dog Saved My Life. Hey, ladies. Love the pod. Y'all keep me sane. I have two stories to share. The first is about how my badass dog saved my life. If you want to hear an Appalachian ghost story about how my dead hippie mother-in-law helped out at our wedding, let me know. Side note, yes, please send that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dee Dee writes, late one hot summer night, I was out walking my dog, Teddy. He kept pulling toward a dark part of the park and making a deep, scary growl, completely out of character for our normally easygoing pup. And then it happened. A hand reached out and grabbed me. I could feel how rough and scratched up his hands were, and I could smell nasty cologne. Maybe skunk pee mixed with cigar smoke? Gross. My normally sweet, never hurt a fly dog switched into full-on attack mode. He was snarling, biting, and jumping to make the guy let me go. I screamed, "Teddy, home!" And off he ran, dragging me behind him as I held onto his leash. We're not big law enforcement people, but our local police were great. They got to our house in just a few minutes and immediately scoured the park. Here's the really frightening part. They found a backpack with rope and duct tape on the park path right where the guy grabbed me. I know a kill bag when I hear it. Yikes. The police came back the next day to check on me and brought Teddy a bone and an honorary canine badge. The police arrested a guy a few months later for trying to grab a woman in a neighborhood close to ours. I don't know if it was the same person, but I bet Teddy could have picked him out of a lineup. Teddy kicked some major ass that night, and I'll be forever grateful. Sharing a pic of my hero Teddy, who passed away in 2021 after a valiant fight against an autoimmune disease. May he get to roll in every mud puddle in doggy heaven.
Oh, bless Teddy, sweet
face. Look at that face. Oh my goodness, what a sweet boy he is.
A hero. A hero.
Truly. How sweet is it that the cops were like, "Get him a bone. Boy, Teddy. You're an honorary canine member and a bone." But for real though, like, dogs can sense things we don't. There was another Freaky Friday where in the woods too, the dog was like, "Nah, we're not going that way." And then later they found out there had been like a murder not far from where they were. We don't deserve them. We don't deserve them.
When I walk in Buffy, for real, if there's a person and she's like, because she's normally wants to be everyone's friend. And if there's a person that she avoids or is like pulls away from, I'm like, let's cross the street. I'm fine with that. And yes, I think you are very correct, Dee Dee. That bag was not, he didn't have rope because he was going to go fix swings at the swing set. And the duct tape was like, fix the slide. Absolutely not. That was, you're right, a kill bag. Somebody hiding in the woods, snatching women with a bag like that. We know what they're using it for.
Yeah, that's so scary. You can just be walking your dog, and the next thing you know, somebody's trying to get you.
True, true. Well, bless you, Teddy.
You trained Teddy well. He knew to protect you and knew what home meant and got you out of there. That guy did not know what he was up against when he was like, "Oh, that's a tiny dog.
Yeah.
Surely it won't put up a fight." Don't you fuck with Teddy. You don't even know Teddy.
You can't underestimate Teddy. Teddy's got the sweetest face, but that sweet face means he loves his owner very much, which means he's going to get him. So I agree, Dee Dee. He's getting every mud puddle and unlimited bones forever across that rainbow bridge, sweet boy.
Absolutely. Also, he's probably like the coolest dog in doggy heaven. Yeah, he's got stories. Because they're like, "Oh, you got an honorary canine badge? It's awesome. You saved your owner's life? Shit, Teddy, can we sit at your table for lunch?"
Yeah, he's a cool kid. He's definitely the cool kid.
Well, thank you, Teddy, and thank you, Dee Dee. We're so glad that you stayed safe. Heather, your daughter's written in.
Hello, sweetheart. Thank you.
This is from Anonymous, and Anonymous writes, "The time I stood up against dick pics." Hello, mother. Hello, auntie. Christy, is it okay to call you auntie? Yes. I'll save the mushy bits for the end and jump right into it. About 10 years ago, I worked for a man I'll call Dick. Dick was in his 50s and firmly believed in misogyny. Dick had a habit of chasing his Ambien with liquor. Dick would then text low-level female employees to invite them to his lake house and would often include a dick pic. He thankfully never sent one to me, but I was friends with several women who did receive these messages. One employee tried to turn him in, but it backfired on her. Dick was, quote, well-respected in our field, and this employee had a reputation of being a, quote, crazy party girl. She was effectively blacklisted and couldn't advance her career. Outside of Dick's dick pic, the dude was just a straight-up dick. He loved to intentionally only speak to my male counterpart and would often pretend I wasn't in the room at all. The year I worked for him was one of the worst years of my life. Eventually, he kicked me out of his area by writing a letter to the big boss, complaining about me and how I never wore makeup or high heels. Did I mention that my past employer was a huge fan of the, quote, good old boy system? I was young and emotionally fragile. At the time, I was also dealing with a family situation involving DV, so I took the transfer without any complaint. Fast forward to now. I work for a state agency and am pretty happy work-wise. About a month ago, I found out that Dick had applied to work for my agency. I immediately felt sick. He applied for a completely different unit than my current assignment, so there's a good chance I would only ever see him once or twice a year for training. I tried to rationalize that it wouldn't be that bad, and surely I was over how he had treated me, but it just kept eating at me. I have had zero contact with this man in the last decade, and I have no idea if he still had a photography hobby. I felt so conflicted about saying something to my agency about Dick's past indiscretions. I just so happened to be binging a bunch of y'all's episodes, and the thought hit me. What would Heather and Christy do? I immediately heard Christy yelling, "Well, he can fuck off," and Heather sternly saying, "I can tell you what we're not going to do, and that's let this nasty man send his dick to anyone else." I went to work the next day and spoke with one of the supervisors. Thankfully, this male supervisor was extremely appalled and immediately put a stop to Dick's hiring process. I had to give a more detailed interview to the guy that does background checks, and after a couple of days, I was told they officially declined to hire him. The immense relief I felt cannot be put into words. I knew that there would be a chance that I wouldn't be believed, or that the severity might be downplayed. But it wasn't. I was thanked for coming forward. I just want to say thank you. I grew up in an abusive household, and often struggle with a little voice in my head being a toxic remnant of my childhood. I've started making a conscious effort to adopt new little voices, and y'all have made the cut. It's been a beautiful experience to have such kind and supportive voices to drown out the negativity. Whether you realize it or not, you make a difference. Sending you all the love and positive energy, Anonymous. P.S. I've included a picture of my daughter in the very pink cabinets in what will soon be her bathroom. Life is too short to have boring cabinets.
Well, tell her grandma approves. Those are great cabinets.
Yes, tell her her great aunt loves it. And for a little girl's bathroom, this is precious. It's such a bright, vibrant pink. And this will be something like when you're older, you're like, in that one house, the house that I had the pink bathroom.
The pink bathroom.
The pink cabinets. Yeah, that's a cool thing to do as a parent.
Elite. So
good for you. And good for you for saying something. That is such a hard thing to do because there is that fear that you're not going to be believed or that you're going to get blacklisted.
Yeah,
and
like
your career
person.
Gets ruined. But I feel honored that you thought, like, what would we do? And you stood up. I also, just a little side note. I feel like I come across as a much more hostile person than I intend to. Because anytime a person writes in with like, what would Christy do? It's usually probably tell them to go fuck themselves.
Well, usually it's in it's not like, well, when this Girl Scout came to my door to buy cookies, I thought, what would Christy do? Because they would have been like, oh, Christy would say, I'll buy cookies from you and I'll give them to my family.
Fuck you off with your thin mints.
Yeah. However, when it is like people are like, I was faced with this horrible person or a jackass or a dangerous situation, you give them, and myself included, when I had to return stamps yesterday, I was like, if I was Christy, just go back in there. You don't have to be rude. You could just be firm. God. Turns out they were too expensive and I was overcharged, yada, yada, yada. I got a refund. But truly, it is kind of helpful to have that like chutzpah behind you. So in this case, I think that I agree with both of our voices. And I always appreciate when someone knows me so well to be like, tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to let this guy send his dick anymore. So thank you for getting both of us. Because I think in this case, you would absolutely be like, tell him to fuck off. Get out of here. You're not going to get a job here.
Yeah, that's
dick
true.
Dick pic guy. Yeah, I think if you were HR, you'd probably be like, my official recommendation is fuck this guy. And mine is too. So it's two no's, you're out.
Right? I love too that your supervisor was a dude and still was, you know, he was a good one. So yeah. Good for that. And yes, all joking aside, I'm honored that you would even consider what I might do and that might give you some encouragement to go say something. But
me too.
You did it yourself.
You're
the hero in this situation. And you saved a lot of women a lot of grief and trauma because you stood up and said something. So
for sure. clap on both of us.
That's yeah, for and you, you're right. Anonymous.
I'm happy that your supervisor. I like that we're seeing that like morality and rightness is no longer divided along gender lines of like, what's the good old boys club? So even though it's wrong, he's a guy, we're going to be like cool about him. It's like, I don't give a fuck what your gender is. Don't send your genitalia to anybody. Just no. Unless they were like, let me get that genitalia and then go for it if you want to. But don't ask unless someone's made it clear. You know what I mean? I think we're getting into a place where we're just like, well, that's just gross. I don't give a shit who you are.
I also love that this guy thought, well, nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happens when I do something. And then he's like, oh, Anonymous from that other job. She works there, huh? She finally got me. And it's like, yeah, bitch, you did. You can't run from your wrongdoings forever. You got to face like- them, pay the piper eventually, sir.
Tell him it was me. I'm the reason. Well, good on you, daughter. You did great. We're proud. Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This next one's from Dana, and the subject line is my connection to this week's true crime headlines. Good morning to my favorite sinister ladies. When I heard this week's true crime headlines, I knew I had to write in. Directly after college, in another lifetime, 12 or so years ago, I worked as an assistant store manager for a large clothing retailer in Indianapolis. Before I got a permanent store placement, I bounced around to help out different stores. After my first few days at one of these new stores, we were in a manager's meeting speaking about one of our associates when someone looked at me and said, "Well, you know who his brother is, right?" I'd only met this particular associate once or twice, a quiet, older gentleman. Didn't seem to respond well to authority, but then again, who wants to listen to a 23-year-old? But his brother was none other than Herb Baumeister. At the time, I'd never heard of him or the cases connected to him. He died when I was 7. But naturally, I spent the whole evening going down several rabbit holes. I definitely think this sparked my interest in true crime, although I had been watching Unsolved Mysteries since I was a child. It was so odd to be in contact with someone whose family had caused so much pain. I honestly felt bad for him. As you've said before, the families of killers are victims too. With such a unique last name, I'm sure it was hard for him to ever escape his brother's infamy. I still think about this case pretty frequently, especially with all the developments of the identities of the people he killed. I've even driven past his farm once or twice, as I'm still in the area and a total weirdo. Even though it sounds like it's an impossible task, I do hope that one day they are able to identify all 10,000 bone fragments and bring closure to those men and their families. Thanks for reading. Keep it creepy. Dana.
This is a case that's currently going on in the news because 10,000 bones have been found on the farm and they're slowly identifying things.
Yeah, one by one, the county coroner has asked if anyone had a loved one go missing in Indianapolis in the late 1980s, early 1990s, when Herb Baumeister, they called him the I-70 Strangler. There's different names for him, but they found such a significant amount of human remains on his farm out there, if you have not been, you know, following that or you haven't seen those headlines. And they're asking for familial samples to try to cross-reference them and even identify victims because they don't even know how many victims that comprises. They have a list and then they'll identify a body and go, well, that wasn't even on our initial list. So the list is now longer. But you're right, Dana, that last name is especially in Indianapolis because this was just out. So the victims were in Indianapolis and then his farm's just outside of it. It's like That's a rough one.
Yeah, that honestly, you don't want to have to like deny your own heritage, but I might go and change my name if that was the case. You know,
yeah, it's just like somewhere else.
That is so distinct and everyone there knows about it. But we covered that recently on True Crime Headlines if you want more information, because it is a wild story. Everything from his son finding a human skull, that's what set it off, to we looked it up. There's 206 bones in the human body. So that averages out to about 48 people.
At least.
And about 12, I think, have been identified so far.
Something like that.
So.
But yeah, you're right. That's an eerie thing to be just that close to someone and just go, man, you're like, we all read about it in the news, but you were, this was your life.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, nobody likes to listen to a 23-year-old. So he had to deal with that too.
Well, you think, well, is he just the way he is because that's him and he's also got some problems? Or is it because of all the trauma he's endured being the brother of a serial killer? And that, I'm assuming, fucks you up.
Yeah, I can't imagine everybody's like clamoring to hang out with you and be your best friend when you're a Baumeister in the Indianapolis area. So that is very tough. But agree with you, Dana. It sounds impossible, but I hope one day there will be every single fragment will be accounted for. And I think that's what they're working towards, all the all the crews that are working on that. So Godspeed to them. And if anybody, like I said, had a loved one missing in Indianapolis around that time, look into it because they're asking for family samples.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Dana. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This next one is from Corey, and the subject line is light as a feather, stiff as a board. Hey, y'all. Recent dish transplant to the DFW area, and I'm so glad I found your podcast. I'm a returning student, 47 isn't too old, in a radiology technologist program. At my hospital site, we attend 2 days a week with class and lab the other days. On Tuesday, my two classmates and I showed up, and one of the techs was eager to pull up an intake report from the prior weekend to show us. To summarize it, a welfare check was called on a man who was living temporarily at a hotel. He was definitely out of it, but seemed okay when law enforcement spoke to him, so they went on their way. 2 days later, another welfare call came in for the same man. This time, the police had to request entry when he didn't answer. The authorities heard water running, but the main room was empty. They found the man standing upright, naked, in front of the bathroom mirror, completely unresponsive to them. They attempted a sternal rub, administered both Narcan and Versed, and the man's condition remained the same. All of his vital signs were normal, except for high blood sugar, and they finally stood a backboard behind him to lower him down for the stretcher. Those are all the details included in the report, except for the last line, which read, EMS reports a Ouija board was on the coffee table. Insert screaming shocked face emoji here. No one had any follow-up information for us, and he was discharged by the time we were told about it, so I couldn't even do a quick walk-by, whistling casually as I pushed the portable x-ray machine down the hall and accidentally entering his room to see what the hell was going on. So, what do we think, ladies? Demon possession? Sleepover game gone wrong? Just the usual drugs are bad, okay, story? My best guess is drugs plus Ouija board plus scared himself in the mirror equals psychotic break. But who the fuck knows at this point? All I know is you couldn't pay me enough to work night shift on his floor, running the risk that he'd come running down the hallway, flipped over backwards on all fours, a la The Exorcist. Thanks for reading this. I love your vibes and appreciate all the research, compassion, dignity, and humor that goes into the work you do.
Oh, man. This is, when I hear stories like this, we always want to thank our first responders.
For sure.
Stuff like this, I'm like, I'm just not equipped to deal with something like, this situation, I feel like maybe, but there are many where I'm like, no, I'm not cut out for something like that. But when you can't get through to someone and they're just catatonic, but standing up, like, what do you do? And I guess the answer is you get a board and you lay them back and you take them out of there. But that's so scary to walk in and like, there's just, the lights are on or nobody's home or he's living something in his head.
Yeah, it's like so eerie to have that non-responsiveness, but their eyes are open. You know, it's one thing if they're like collapsed on the floor and their eyes are open and that's non-responsive, or they're standing up and responsive, but like to be like standing up still, you're like, how are you able to support your body? But when I'm trying to interact with you, like, sir, are you okay? Is there only one entity in you? Is it just you, or is there like a demon and like what's in there? Or just being like, what else can we do? Because they're just like, well, we got to administer whatever drugs that we, you know, think that might counteract what's going on here. And then when that doesn't work, you're like, I guess we just take him out of here and go test him.
Make note that the Ouija board's on the table. I agree that my best guess would be also drugs plus Ouija board plus scared himself into a psychotic break or some sort of I definitely think drugs were probably involved, but what a scary place to be where you're on drugs, you're playing with a Ouija board by yourself, and then the next thing you know, you wake up in a hospital because you had some sort of experience in the bathroom.
Right, you like freaked out at your own. There's like, I think, did we talk about that on an episode, or maybe we were watching something about it where like talking about staring at your own reflection for long enough. I think it might have been the Midnight Game episode, maybe. Or something like that, where it really, you can like go into a psychosis from doing that, not to mention if you add drugs to it as well. But that is just overall such a, for the people that had to walk in on that, it's kind of the worst, you know, because it sounds like he was discharged a day or two later. So he wasn't, you know, particularly, injured or whatever was going on. But that's the kind of thing that you tell your friends about that around drinks after work, like, well, I had to go get a guy that did himself into a Ouija board spell up against the mirror, and he was fully naked, and I had to lift his light as a feather, stiff as a board, him out of here.
Yeah, I recently saw a TikTok. I think I liked it, so we'll link it. But it was a group of adults doing light as a feather, stiff as a board. The guy was sitting in a chair and there were four people around him, and they each, like, if you like put your hands together like this,
okay,
like if you were making a like gun, a James symbol Bond. Yeah, James Bond,
like you're
symbol,
trying to
yeah.
do a picture with yeah. a gun, finger gun, mm-hmm. kind of thing, with both hands together.
So they put their index fingers that were together like under his legs and under his armpits and try to lift him. It didn't happen. And then the caption was like, this party trick convinces everyone that I'm some kind of witch. So then she was like, okay, everybody take your hands off. And now we're going to one by one go around. First, put your right hand over his head. And like everyone put their right hand over his head. And then in the same order, everyone went and put their left hand. So it was like stacking like this. And then in the same order, they took him away. And then she said, okay, now everybody put your hands back together and we're going to lift again on three. And they straight up fucking lifted him out of that chair.
What?
And they all flipped out. Everyone in the comments was talking about the science of it, which I never understood as a kid.
I don't know.
We always played light as a feather, stiff as a board. It never worked, though. But apparently, the second time you do it, your body already knows the amount of like force that you should be using because you've already done it once, not even consciously, just like subconsciously. And also you've all now like collectively focused your attention into kind of one mind where you're like, okay, we're all going to be doing this at the same time. My body already knows I just did it. So it knows how hard to do it. And then that's why it works.
Damn. I always wondered.
That's what people said in the comments. I could be wrong. I think there was some scientific word used, but I don't remember what it was. But I was like, damn, that's fascinating.
Yeah, we got a lot of smart listeners. Somebody will write in or somebody will comment on Instagram and tell us, you know, what the real deal was. But it sounds like that makes total sense. It's like very much in line with like, you think like that kind of mindset with like a team mindset where it's like all of a sudden we were throwing the ball to each other and not even looking. And it's like we were all like psychically linked. I'm not saying you're psychically linked. I think you're just, your reflexes are like looking for each other so much that you're like, I don't even have to look to my side to know that they're lifting. Like 1, 2, 3, you like feel, you're like all feeling it. But yeah, I thought
it was interesting that your body also already knows like how much force to use. So that's why like it's easier for you to do it. I never thought about that.
Yeah, we tried to play it as a kid, but I never got lifted. And then at one particularly mean slumber party, they were like, you're too fat to be the one that's it. So I didn't even get to try it. So whatever.
Well, jokes on them because the science says it doesn't matter how big you are because it can still work if everyone else is doing their job. So that's on them.
Yes, it was not that I was a chubby kid. It's that you idiots weren't working together. So that's on you and not on me. But all that, I like it. I like watching those type of videos. So definitely we're gonna have to show it to me and then we'll link it in the show notes because I want to know. I like, especially if you could do it on other people, make them think you're a witch. Come on, we got to start trying that.
Yeah, we'll definitely link it so everyone can see it and then go and do it.
Yeah, make everyone
and then write in and tell us what happened or send us a video. I want to see like how many people are like, damn, that did work.
We can do it.
No cheating. Well, it's gotta be for real.
It has to be real. Well, thank you very much, Corey. And you're right. 47 isn't too old. Any dream can happen anytime. It's awesome.
That's amazing. Go back to school. Whenever I see those things, it's like Morgan Freeman was in his 50s when he landed his first gig or whatever it is and all that stuff. I'm like, everybody can just do whatever they want. It doesn't matter how old you are. So good for you for going back and pursuing something like that.
Yeah. Seize the day. You're doing it. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this last one is from Betty, and the subject line is 2 hands, 1 jar. Hey guys, love the show. It's been my hyperfixation for about 3 months now. I listen morning, noon, and night, and I think I'm somewhere in January 2024 right now. Hilarious, fascinating, masters of your craft, I applaud you both. I have to confess, I've skipped a lot of the Freaky Friday episodes for the meatier deep dives, but I have caught the odd one here and there. So I thought, why not throw my hat in the ring and share this weird story with you and possibly the entire world, as we know they're listening. When I was about 19, I was experiencing homelessness in central London for 18 months. I had been raised in a violent and abusive Christian cult all my life and was eventually kicked out when I got old enough to be difficult. I lived with a group of other unhoused people, and we squatted in old buildings that were out of use. Most of the time, I lived in a small flat on a housing estate which had been entirely empty for a while. The council had moved out all the residents in order to knock the 6 or 7 blocks down and build in its place a new development. Unfortunately, they couldn't afford to do that yet, so it sat empty instead until we made use of it. I had been visiting a friend at a different squad across the city one day. And this place was incredible. The house was Victorian and condemned as unsafe, but the residents had painstakingly constructed floors from scraps of wood they'd found and bunk beds from scaffolding pipes. It was a real Peter Pan turnout, and I loved it, so I visited as often as I could. On this day, we were sitting outside, tending the vegetable garden, when some other squatters arrived and asked for help in clearing out a new building they had found. We rallied the troops, got on our bikes, and cycled to the new location, which turned out to be an old railway signal box under a bridge. The small building was split in two down the middle by a half wall, and one side had already been cleared out. The other side was full of junk, which people were slowly moving outside. Old chairs, bits of railway equipment, miscellaneous boards and bricks. After an hour or so, I went to sit outside and smoke, and I was just settling into my chair when someone called from inside for us all to come and see what they'd found. These places always turn up old treasure, never anything valuable in my experience, but very interesting junk and relics of time gone by were commonplace, so I was keen to see what it was. I walked into the building to find a few people stood around a large mason jar on the floor. It was obvious nobody wanted to touch it, but I couldn't yet see why. When I did, my blood ran cold. It was a pair of hands in clear or very slightly tinged liquid, and my first thought was that this was surely some sort of prop. There's no way there's a guy running around with no hands and nobody's noticed, right? Right? Wrong. It was indeed a pair of hands, but they were two left hands. Against my better judgment, I opened the jar and took a whiff, still not convinced that this was real. It stank like the strongest vinegar, and I quickly closed it again, disgusted. The skin on the hands was very strange. It was perfectly smooth. All the usual bumps and wrinkles you would expect to see on an adult hand were gone. And the fingers curled strangely, like a bunch of bananas, rather than bending at the knuckles. This only added to my suspicion, as surely if someone had made this, they would have gone to more effort to make it look like the real deal, assuming they, like me, wouldn't have much of a reference for pickled hands. As we turned the jar around, we noticed a label that read, "Thieves Never Prosper," with 2 years written below it. I can't remember exactly what years they were, but I think they were from the early 2000s. We all looked at each other, convinced now that this was the real deal, and shitting our pants over what to do. Did this belong to some mobster, a villainous caped crusader dishing out vigilante justice, or was it the property of an unhinged psychopath who could reappear to claim it at any second? We mulled it over through the night, and in the morning we were divided on whether we should turn it into the authorities or not. None of us had a great rapport with police, shall we say. Even those of us with no previous records did not fancy our chances given the circumstances. I will never forget the stinging irony of the police turning up to forcibly evict us at that exact moment. I have to say here that we are no strangers to aggressive and often violent evictions by the police. They did not view us as creative, ingenious, young, unhoused people just trying to survive in a harsh city that was not ready for us. I think they probably saw us more as a nuisance, a gang of drug-addled teenage wasters collectively choosing to tank our futures in favor of sticking it to the man. When we looked out of the gate and saw a gang of angry officers taking an angle grinder to the security chain, the matter was immediately and unanimously settled. There was no way they would not use this find against us. At least we thought as much as naive kids. So we wiped the jar down and secretly placed it back under the pile of junk it had come from. We then peacefully surrendered the building and disappeared into the early London mist. I've thought many, many times over the last 15 years about that jar. Who owned those hands? Who cut them off? Who put them there? Questions I will never have answered. I returned to London years later, but I've never been able to find the building again. In a city that's constantly changing and developing, nothing stays the same for long. Was it ever found? Or is it there to this day, collecting dust? I know that given the option again, I would turn it in. The years have brought me that much wisdom, at least, but I would love to know if anyone else ever found it and did the right thing. At the very least, it makes a great campfire story, and I suppose that's all I can take from it. Thanks for listening and maybe relaying this story. I hope it skeeves you out as much as it still does me.
Well, it skeeves me out.
I'm skeeved.
For sure.
I'm skeeved. Thoroughly
officially skeeved, Betty. Yeah. I cannot blame any of you at all.
No.
For not saying something, because given the circumstances, I think that you're correct that they would have used that against you.
They would have tried to pin it on you. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
somebody's getting arrested, or if not everyone. So that's, you know.
You did what you had to do. And you put it, they were going in there anyway. I'm sure that, you know, if they dig around or whatever, or like you said, eventually when like a construction crew comes in there to like knock it down, they might have found it. But if anyone has any connections in London or London law enforcement, and you've ever heard about this detached hand in a jar of vinegar at the rail box station, please, sinisterhoodpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know, because I mean, I'm fascinated. I don't know if it is. Someone might go, oh, that was the XYZ gang, and they were well known for cutting off the hands of whatever, this cartel or whatever. That'd be at least a little bit of an answer for Betty and you and me and everyone listening who's like, what the fuck is up with those hands?
Yeah, the thieves never prosper, and the dates makes it seem like it was definitely a punishment of some sort. I didn't know that hands kind of turn that way when they're pickled.
Like she said, we don't really have a reference
for pickled hands. Or maybe it's like formaldehyde or something to keep them. I also want to say, I don't know if I've ever met someone braver, Betty, than
Fuck yes,
you,
Betty.
Who would unscrew the mason jar to these hands and take a whiff just to see if it was a prop or not.
Just to take a, just to.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
Oh, gosh, your nose hairs are singed forever.
Yeah, if someone passes out, that's something you can put under them and they'll wake them right back up. It's like smelling salts.
And then,
yeah,
then if they don't wake up, you just slap them with one of the hands.
Yeah, that is to sniff it though. But you're, you know, 18, 19, you're pretty brave. But I think that a person who's gonna have a hand in a jar that they've clearly put there themselves, I don't know that it's probably like medical grade formaldehyde. So I imagine it's probably, it could be vinegar. Like
maybe
they were like,
that's why it looked like
funky
that.
Looking. Yeah, it's not like a true wet specimen, and it's in fact a homemade wet specimen.
Oh, yikes. And, God, so then the fingers go a little weird. I wish they would change the way they call those things.
The old wet specimen.
It's somebody so come wet. Up with a new way to describe them, please. Wet. I hate it so
fucking wet.
Well, that is a great campfire story.
Yes. And man, it's what a story. That's what I mean. Yeah. This is a very unique experience. You know,
incredible.
Other than the people that were there with you that day, this isn't something that normally happens to people. You don't just find a jar of hands. Two different hands,
both
lefties.
Ones,
mind you.
Yeah, both
which
lefties.
Begs the question, why the left both times? Were they left-handed? Maybe like you're forcing someone now to like use their non-dominant hand for things?
Maybe so. Or it's like, I'll cut the left one off the first time you owe me, and I'll come back for the right one the second time you owe me. I imagine there's probably, like I said, if anybody has any insight into if this is like a common thing with like mafiosos or so, you know, something like that, or cartels, because it does sound like that kind of brutal violence of they're not going to call the cops on each other for stealing. You know, they're going to do their own justice. So
yeah, or it was someone that was working for them.
Yeah,
stole, you know, internally,
ironically.
And that's how they're punished. But I would also be curious, once all of that was cleared out, if more jars were found.
Right? It's like, I don't think you just
have
two.
Did you stop at two? Was it just the two? Because I feel like probably not.
No.
You know? Once you've done one, I think, and then like,
you're willing to.
A jar is only so big, so if you have more, then, I mean, you might have a bunch of mason jars that you're
using. Or an aquarium. It's, I mean, what are you going to expand beyond that? A bucket. First you go bucket, then you go like a cooler, then aquarium. And then it's a pool, and they're like, you've got to stop, Heather. This is too many hands. And I'm like, I'll tell you when I've had enough. But I agree with the not calling back then. I think you're right. If you find it as like an adult with agency and knowing to like defend yourself. But if you're a 19-year-old person experiencing homelessness at the time, like they're not going to come in and be like, mm-mm. Oh, you all just, did you just stumbled upon this? They'd be
you
like,
solved
where's
a crime?
The rest of the body?
Good for you. We'll take you down right now and give you a parade. No, you're probably going to spend the night in jail at the very least. So,
if not, get convicted of some crime you never committed.
Yeah,
so,
someone
you're doing
you
all right.
Know is. So, yeah. And then it's like becomes a huge headline.
Yeah.
Unhoused teens find hands in abandoned building. Yeah.
I think you're like, being kind with find. I think it would be like unhoused teens cutting off limbs? Where will they stop? And you're like, we didn't do that. We found it. It's like, we don't know that. And it's like, God damn it. So you did the right thing. You absolutely did. And yeah, I hope our listenership is, we have a broad base of folks that listen to this. So I'm hoping somebody's expertise will kick in and give us some semblance of an answer about this for you, Betty.
I also, it's different from what we've been talking about, but I really love that this community of people that you lived with, like, and I think in communities like this where everyone's kind of struggling, everyone has each other's back. And like, you would drop everything to be like, all right, we're getting on our bikes, riding over to help our other friends because you all know what it's like and you're all there for each other. So I really love that, like, you've got it might not be the family you were born into, but a family that, you know, was chosen for you, or you chose them to help you through that specific time in your life.
Yeah, it says a lot to say, like, we found a new place and we need a hand. And it's like, okay, everybody was immediately there. Just like, bear your neighbor's burden within reason.
We need a hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I really apologize. Normally, I'd tell Tommy to cut that out, but it was such a natural accidental thing that I did that I'm going to leave it in. Chrissy's laughing at me. You all are welcome to. I genuinely didn't mean that. I was thinking more, but then when you got there.
I know. Yes. Well, they got two hands, so. They did.
I was thinking in a pure way, but
two hands is better than one.
Two. It's true. It always is.
The other day, Ella was like, what if you cut off your hand and you just got the doctors to put a robot hand on it? And I was like,
welcome to the future.
I don't know that I would want to do that necessarily. She was like, why? Genuinely was like, why wouldn't you want a robot hand? I'm like, well, this is my hand. I'm literally attached to it. So she's like, I'd get a robot hand. I'd get a robot hand to do all sorts of things. I'm like, well, this is the future generations, everybody.
Singularity. Yeah, Gen Alpha's like, why do I have this dumb regular human hand when I can have a cool one that shoots lasers out of it? And you're like,
oh my God, she said lasers.
Hell yeah.
She fucking said I would shoot lasers out of it. And I then I was like, well, that God, would be that cool kid. If you can just God, shoot lasers out of your fingers.
I love that kid.
That's so funny. Well, oh, y'all can go to the wherever that's going to take place in the future and get your robot hands together.
God, that's amazing.
Well, thank you so much, Betty, for sending that in. And I hate to hear about the way you grew up. And there were a couple of you all in this one that had really rough childhoods and you mm-hmm. came out on the better side. So you should be very proud of yourselves for enduring all of that and becoming the wonderful people that you are today.
Yeah. It doesn't define us, but we go through it and we thank mm-hmm. our past selves for going through it so that we can have the lives we have today.
Absolutely. Well, we thank all of you and we thank everyone for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you've felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, and you also get an archived bonus content once a month just for signing up for free. Or you can join one of our tiers and relish in over 900 hours of bonus content. There's also the true crime headlines that was mentioned recently.
Yes.
There's a Judge Christie that's up there. We're about to release a new mini-sode. There's all sorts of stuff.
We also have this week's bonus content is Heather Saves, because I've come across some things that don't file quite into anything else. And I'm like, I got to talk to Christie and the patrons about this. So, you're going to listen to this after the live stream is already over, but you can check out the on-demand replay of our Thursday night live stream. So check that out over on Crowdcast as well through Patreon.
Yes, it's our Q&As are always such a fun time, and as are the live streams, everything. And anytime we're involving the patrons in the chat, it's a good time.
You get a ton of perks.
So much so that they have now created buttons.
Yes.
So at the live shows, they have chat crew buttons with cryptids on them so they can all identify each other because, you know, everybody has like handles and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's so very sweet and endearing. We just have the best community of listeners on the whole internet.
I agree. Well, you can head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. The kid I was just saying I love so much. Another reason. She loves the Flatwoods Monster and has designed our Believe and Be Kind Flatwoods shirt, which comes in adults all the way down to kid sizes. So share it with the favorite kid in your life. And don't forget to use those Patreon discount codes to get you a deal both on regular and clearance as well.
Absolutely. While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to leave us a review. You can also follow us on socials and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all those live shows for our full moon energy tour.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch video episodes on YouTube. They drop early and ad-free on Patreon. We also have other kinds of fun clips. Sometimes we go live on YouTube, too. And check us out over on TikTok for clips and live streams on there from haunted locations. Who knows? And order a custom video shout-out from us or McGruff or any of the Sinisterhood Menagerie at cameo.com. We can congratulate a graduate, congratulate a new job, do a pep talk. If you're going through something, happy birthday. Happy anniversary.
Father's Day's coming up.
Yeah, Father's Day is a great one as well. We love to, if you want McGruff to cuck your husband, he'll do that too. So go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at on the internet?
We're going to get banned from this app. I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.